Hello. Today's Bible reading comes from Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 to 14, and then 19 to 35. Verse 1. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow, Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they had handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them, and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it, and have said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, so that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "O Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give the descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.'" Then the Lord relented, and he did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. And now verse 19. When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf they had made and burned it in the fire, then ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. He said to Aaron, "What did these people do to you that you led them into such great sin?" "Do not be angry, my lord," Aaron answered. "You know how prone these people are to evil. They said to me, 'Make us gods who will go before us.' As for this fellow, Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." So I told them, "Whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off." Then they gave me the gold, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. Moses saw the people were running wild, and that Aaron had let them get out of control, and so become a laughingstock to their enemies. So he stood at the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And all the Levites rallied to him. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each man strap a sword to his side, go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother and friend and neighbor." The Levites did as Moses commanded, and that day about 3,000 of the people died. Then Moses said, "You have been set apart to the Lord today, for you were against your own sons and brothers, and he has blessed you this day." The next day Moses said to the people, "You have committed a great sin, but now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." So Moses went to the Lord and said, "Oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold. But now, please forgive their sin, but if not, then blot me out of the book you have written." The Lord replied to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Now go, lead the people to the place I spoke of, and my angel will go before you. However, when the time comes for me to punish, I will punish them for their sin." And the Lord struck the people with a plague because of what they did with the calf Aaron made. This is the word of God.
Renee. Shall we pray before we look at God's Word together? Father, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be your people. We pray for your Spirit to be at work, Lord, as we listen to your words. We pray, Lord, that you would give us a soft heart. We pray that you would do in us that miracle of new birth, bringing us spiritual life. So we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember some years ago, I was struggling with the truth about election, like predestination, how God chose people to become his people. And so I was looking for reasons. So God called Abraham. So as I was reading the Bible, saying, why did God call Abraham? There must have been something good about Abraham that God would call him. So I was trying to look for reasons that made Abraham worthy of God's choice, of God calling him to be his. But when you come to today's passage, and as you read the passage, you see that God didn't choose Israel because they were good. Like, God didn't choose Israel because there was anything worthy in themselves. They really blew it. Like, there was, if you remember what we had read in the past in Exodus, they cried out in their slavery for God's rescue, and God sent Moses, and God, through Moses, did this amazing wonders and miracles, and he brought them out of Egypt, and he parted the Red Sea. They walked through with walls of water on both sides, and God was leading this people. And then in Exodus 19, last week we saw, God said, now if you obey me fully, out of all the peoples of the earth, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. All they had to do was to respond to God in obedience, to keep his covenant. And they said, yes, we will do all that the Lord has commanded. And then 40 days later, Moses was not there. They committed idolatry. They came, surrounded Aaron and said, make us gods who brought us out of Egypt, when they knew full well it was Yahweh, God, who brought them out of Egypt. They broke the first and second commandment within 40 days. Why did God choose Israel? Certainly not because there was anything good in them. In fact, God calls them stiff-necked. And Aaron refers to them as a people set on evil. All that to say that the hearts of the Israelites were prone to wander away from God. Idolatry is a great sin. I think often we say that all of us are sinners, and so it doesn't matter whether our sin is big or small. And it's true. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we are all sinners, we are all guilty before God. But it's also true that there are bigger sins and smaller sins. There are sins that have greater consequences. There are sins that God finds more offensive, and that are a big deal to God. If you look at Exodus 32, verse 9 and 10, I have seen this people, the Lord said to Moses, they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. then I will make you into a great nation. I mean, this is a big deal. Like, God is saying, after saving them out of Egypt, he's saying that I'm going to wipe them out. And he's saying, I'm going to start again with you, Moses. This would have been the end. All that rescue down the drain. To understand how intense God's reaction is, we must bear in mind how God has revealed himself to them. They knew clearly what God was like. They saw his mighty acts. And God told them, God appeared to them on Mount Sinai. He came down, there was fire, there was clouds of smoke, and God told them, you shall have no other gods before me. Do not have any idols. Do not worship through images. And 40 days later, that's what they did. So there was no excuse. It was so bad, and God said, I'm going to reject my people. Look at Moses' words to Aaron in Exodus 32, verse 21. He says, what did these people do to you that you led them into such a great sin? See, idolatry is a great sin. Idolatry is a great sin because it's being unfaithful to your partner. Yahweh was Israel's husband. And after saying her marriage vows, Israel had slept around. The third thing that we see highlighted is Moses' role as a mediator. When we read Exodus 32, we must take seriously God's words. God really wants to reject his people. He's really angry with his unfaithful spouse. And we get a hint of this in his words to Moses in verse 7. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. Notice how God refers to his people. He calls them your people, whom you brought out of Egypt. God is distancing himself from the Israelites. They're not his people anymore. He really wants to reject them. A holy God cannot live with idolatrous people. But thankfully, Moses prays to God, and he gives three reasons to persuade God to change his mind. So in verse 11, Moses says, why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servant Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by yourself, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. So God was really mad with the Israelites because of their idolatry, because of their unfaithfulness. But Moses prayed, and God heard Moses' prayer, and God did not destroy them. God relented. So what can we learn from this passage? I guess the first thing is that human beings are prone to rebel against God, that you and I are a stiff-necked and stubborn people, that we easily want to go our own way and do our own thing. And so what we need is transformation. We need transformation on the inside. And so this passage highlights our need for a new heart. In Jeremiah chapter 31, it makes this prophecy of the future. It says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. So there was the first covenant at Mount Sinai, which the Israelites broke. But God said, I'll make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. I will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. We need change on the inside, and that is what the new covenant is all about. God Himself writing His laws in our hearts, on our minds. See, the Ten Commandments was external. It was saying, obey these things, but it was outside of them. In the new covenant, God puts His Spirit in us, and God changes us from the inside. Sometimes growing up in church, we can change on the outside. You learn to say the right things. You learn to do what is expected, either because your parents expect you to behave in a certain way, or your leaders expect you to behave in a certain way, or the aunties and uncles expect you to behave in a certain way. You learn to wear the right clothes, to use the right words, to say your prayers, and to behave like a Christian. This passage teaches us that it's not about the outside. God looks on the heart, and the change that He brings is a change on the inside. Jesus said to Nicodemus, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. I remember the day I was in first year uni, I was sitting on my bed, and when I became spiritually alive, and God spoke to me through thoughts in my mind, and God said that all my righteous acts are filthy rags. If I help the blind man cross the road, that is a filthy rag. If I give all my money to the poor, that is a filthy rag. If I go to church every Sunday, that is a filthy rag. So I started to cheer, and I told God, that doesn't make sense. I can understand if you're saying the bad things I do are filth in your sight, but how can the good things I do be filth in your sight as well? And God brought to mind Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourself. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So I felt a burden lifted off my shoulder. I didn't have to try to be good to be saved. I understood for the first time clearly that when Jesus died on the cross, He didn't take 99% of my sin and I have to do 1% of work to make me right with God. He took all my sin. He paid for all my sins. And because grace became such a special word, like I thought if we were to have kids, I'd name my daughter Grace. And I wanted to share this good news, not because anyone told me to do it, but because it was just wonderful news that I'm saved by God's grace, not by anything that I did. I remember waking up for like before 7, because it was exam time, and I had to go to college and sit in the library and study. So I had to go to, I wanted to go to church early. And so I woke up before 7, got a lift to the bus stop, took a bus to church. And I remember there were times I used to run to church because, I loved being there, especially in the first part, we had the time of singing. Remember in the time of singing, just experiencing God's love, tearing, and there was a missions conference that I attended, Vision for the Nations. And after that, another person and I, we got together. She also attended the conference. We said, okay, let's start a Christian group at our college. Like, no one told me to do these things. It happened because I changed on the inside. And why am I telling you these things? Because Christianity is not about keeping a bunch of rules. It is not about conforming to a set of expectations that people put on you. It is about having a new heart, new desires on the inside, which God's Spirit, who comes and lives in you, puts on the inside. So it's because we are transformed on the inside, we love God, and so our obedience flows from our love for God. In the Bible it says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And we've got to get the order right. Our obedience doesn't show that we love, it's not that we obey God and then that's an indicator, okay, I've done these things, okay, I'm right. It's because we love God, that's why we obey Him. So it's got to start in the right place. It's got to start on the inside. In Exodus 32, Moses told the people, you have committed a great sin. I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for you, for your sins. Moses says to God, if you won't forgive their sins, blot my name out of your book which you have written. This is not the book of life for eternity, but it's a way of saying, take my life in place of your people. Because God had said, I'm going to destroy them. Moses said, no, take my life. Blot me out. God did not accept Moses' offer, but many years later, on a hill called Calvary, God accepted the offer, the sacrifice of a sinless man. By his death, this man from Galilee atoned for all our sins. Full and final atonement. So if you're sitting here today and you've never realized how seriously God takes your sin, repent and ask God for forgiveness. Trust solely in Jesus' atonement. If you're sitting here and you are stubborn and stiff-necked, living in rebellion against God, don't try to change your behavior. Cry out to God for a new heart. We need a new heart for God's Spirit to come and live in us. And God's Spirit will change us from the inside out, writing His laws in our hearts. If you're fearful and worried about not being good enough for God, we aren't and we never will be. But Jesus is good enough. And so we stand in Christ, in His grace. Since we have a bit of time, shall we get the band to come and sing that last song and lead us in that? Who, O Lord, could save themselves? Together. Father, we thank you that your word reveals that our problem is deeper than what we can do to save ourselves. Lord, the sinfulness of our hearts is much deeper. And so, Father, we cry out to you and we pray that your Spirit would work in us to write your law in our hearts, to give us a soft heart towards you, that we can love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.